Is it on? Okay. Well, you know when Debbie and Gordon asked us, and she said something about Sunday night, she said you all have a very informal meeting on Sunday nights. You ask questions and discuss. And I said, that'd be great. So if anybody has questions, we'll do that before I just share on prayer. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? Well, when I talked to them, I told them that I had ordered prayer books. And, of course, with this being, you know, National Day of Prayer coming up, how important is prayer? How important? Of all the things, I think, in the church, that prayer is probably the key to everything. And usually, it's the least attended. And I don't know if it's, I think if we pray, we see results right away, then we get encouraged. But when we pray and pray and we think nothing's happening, then we kind of back off. But you know what, when I was teaching about spirit to spirit with Father God, you know, that is the only way we have to communicate with him other than the word. And when we go to prayer and we just sit and talk to him, just like he's our best friend, our father, we just talk to him. And sometimes I think we make prayer so formal, and it isn't at all. It is just talking to God, our own personal prayer. When it comes time, though, for us to pray corporately as a church, when I was saying today, this morning, years ago, Kathy and Ed had a church, and the Lord really impressed upon me to have the church pray for them in the evenings when they had their dinner. And of course, that was like several years ago. Right now, it seems like a lot of families just don't sit at 5. And when Chuck worked for the government, he went to work at 7. He came home at 5:15. We had 3 children. Dinner was on the table. Kids were ready. We were on a schedule. But you know what? This day and age, it's very difficult to be on a schedule like that. It really is. And I have friends that I talk to a lot, and I have this saying, if you've got to be flexible like a wet noodle. Because if you're not flexible in everything that we do anymore, you try to bend a noodle, it's going to crack. So that's why I told Peggy, it's fine to be flexible. And when we do that, even in our prayer time, because what happens sometimes is we set this time aside to pray, and then it begins to become works. Or it becomes legalism, rather than just fellowshipping and talking to our Father. But now in praying, like the National Day of Prayer, or when you pray here in the church, of course it's a focused prayer. And what I was saying this morning, what I had, the Lord really impressed me to do at Kathy and Ed's church, was when they were together as a family, whether it was at dinner time or whatever, even if it's once a week, whatever, but to pray specifically for the pastors, for the church, for the pastors. And when you do that, and to pray the vision out, what I was sharing this morning, when you pray that vision, you pray your purpose, or you pray for the community. When you pray in unity, it's like in Philippians 2, I was talking to Peggy about that earlier today. In Philippians 2, when you're talking about unity, is so important in the body of Christ, in your church, in your family. When you start praying together as a family, it unifies you. Then you become one in the spirit when you do that. I know Philippians is in my Bible. Philippians 2. Fulfill my joy, by Philippians 2:2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And when we do that, when we become one in unity in prayer, we don't just become unity here together as a fellowship, but you become united in spirit and in purpose. And so when you do that, when you pray for your pastors and pray a scriptural prayer, and there is one in prayers that avail much. I didn't have my computer doesn't work, and my iPad I couldn't get to print. I'm not too techy. Listen, when you get to be our age, you've called on these kids to do it all for you, and I didn't have that. But to write out a prayer for your pastor and your leaders, and also, if somebody could do that here and hand it out to the church, a prayer for you, specifically for your pastors, there's a good one here in Prayers That Avail Much. And there's one in this prayer book I'm going to give out to everybody that's for leadership in ministry for your community. It's a wonderful little prayer book. And then when you do that, though, you hear it. When you speak it out, you create it. You hear it. It goes into your heart just like everything works. Healing, prosperity, everything is by the words you speak. Then you start believing it. And you have a body of Christ working together like that. And believing for what you want in this community, you're going to see it happen. It will happen. And there's where we encourage each other then. When we pray for each other, and be sensitive to each other to pray. Just for each other's needs. The Lord, if somebody could, and I know you all teach on prayer and everything, just I'm probably preaching to the choir, but just to reinforce your sensitivity in the spirit realm. If somebody could, if like when you were on your trip, Roxanne, somebody, all of a sudden you think, oh my, I wonder what Roxanne's doing today. Oh, I wonder what, pray. Because that's probably the spirit in your spirit, your own human spirit, by listening to the Spirit of God to pray for them. And when you're sensitive like that, you will meet the needs of your, and who knows what we prevent from happening if the enemy does. Commission those angels to go out and then pray for each other. And you know what? I was very critical one time of a certain person. And the Lord said, you start praying. And I started praying for that person, praying for that person, till I got so, I loved that person. And you do that. You know, the your prayer, your heartfelt prayer, it says a heartfelt, the earnest, heartfelt prayer, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, James 5:16. The heartfelt prayer, that means you just, and you know what? I had a dream one time. It wasn't prayer, but this just shows you how all we have to do is say one word. I was in this, like a thatched roof-like place with, had all these little houses in a circle, and I was trying to get out of that. It was a real spiritual dream because I've never forgotten it. It was years ago. And I was trying to get out, and obviously I was being attacked by the devil. There was this huge serpent under me with its mouth open, and I thought, I remember just hanging on to that roof, trying to get out, trying to get away. And all I did was say, help. And I was immediately out of there and in green grass, and the Lord said to me, all you had to do was ask. But you know, he's a legal God. He's not going to push himself on anybody. If you want God to talk to you, you're going to have to talk to him. And then invite him in. That's why I say to people when I counsel with them, just invite him in. He's not going to, I said, if you're getting pressure on you, then it's from the devil. It's never from God. He never puts pressure on us. Now, he will lead us and guide us, but he never puts pressure on us. So when you're getting pressured to do something, it's not from the Lord, for sure. But I asked Debbie, getting back to your dinner time, when you have prayer at dinner time, then pray for your pastors. Just make a note, and somebody will remember to do it at the dinner table. But it's good to do that. It's good to pray for your leaders because they're the spearhead. The enemy's going to attack. If they attack the leader, and that's why we need to so pray for our president, because you knock a leader down, and it affects the whole nation. And really particularly pray for Netanyahu with the election's coming up. Because that's such a key. And I really believe that's one reason why we're being blessed as a nation, is because we are standing with Israel and we are praying for Israel. And we as a nation have become very close. And that's scriptural. Anyway, I asked Debbie if she would send me the vision of the church, and probably you all know it. But when you speak that out when you pray, we are a servant church. You know what I'm going to do? Chuck, you want to give these out, these books? And I did, like I said, I didn't have copies.
One for family.
Mm-hmm. There's 10 there, I think, or something. But you can write the vision in this book. And also on your envelope here too is a wonderful said about the same thing as a vision. I ordered these books 3 or 4 years ago. We had a ministry and we called it the Community Prayer Wall, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer every day. And I should not have. Did you get everybody get one? Okay. The vision is, we are a servant church, a family church, and a teaching center. Isn't that wonderful? Taking the love of Jesus Christ to our community, our nation, and our world. Isn't that beautiful vision? You're actually doing it. You're doing it, but it could be multiplied even more, couldn't it? And then on your envelope here, it's, we are a servant church, a family church, and a teaching center, teaching the love of Jesus Christ to our community. That's what I just read. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, walking in faith and victory where excellence is a way of life. And like I said before, you all are just so blessed to have a Word of Faith church. We were talking to Peggy and Steve today. We don't have a Word of Faith church in Winchester. We have our home group. And we used to have two, actually. But let me tell you something. When you have the Word of God going forth, and you know the power in the Word, you know what? The enemy doesn't have to come against a church that's not giving out life, that's not teaching the Word and showing people how to live in victory, showing people how to get healed, how to walk in victory, how to have prosperity, how to give, and how to pray, and how to love. And you know what? The enemy's going to come against that kind of church. That's why the most important thing you can do is to pray and lift each other up and lift the vision up, lift the pastors up and the leadership. And that unity, you can't fail. You can't fail. And in this little book, anybody have questions or at input? Anything? In this little book, it's to pray for our nation, and it has just about every prayer, and it's they're all scriptural, very simple. And it's this couple that did this book were actually working at Harrison House, and did and published it through Harrison House, and we got it. And we had, like I said, we got it for a prayer movement that we were doing in Winchester in our community. And we just mailed them out to everybody there. But we'll take the President of the United States to pray for him. And I know all of you do pray for him, but boy, does he need prayer. He needs, we were talking about it earlier. It's almost like, it's an unnatural hatred that it's like, it's hard to even understand how anybody would beat somebody up for having a mega cap on, or the student in a school because they love the president or support. I don't know that at our age and all the years we've been in, I've never seen anything like it. And it's so, you know what, we're in a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. And how do we fight the battle? With the Word of God. Just like Jesus, it is written. We battle with the Word of God. And of course, I think praying in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit a lot. And you're praying the perfect will of God, whether it's for a neighbor, your church, your family, of the nation. Sometimes, like I said, I do watch the news, Chuck and I get upset. Sometimes all you can do is pray in the Spirit, just to take control of your own tongue. So, but at least we're praying the will of God when we pray in the Spirit. We're praying mysteries that we don't even know about, you know, or how you think about many years ago that the president had in his heart to become president, and he waited all those years and you know, for the timing. And if you think about it, if the other presidents had gotten in, he wouldn't have been in when the Republican wouldn't have been coming in. So God, when we do pray that, we are praying God's perfect will. And like I said, be sensitive. I know I had just gotten a new prayer book, and I'd go out on our back deck, and I would pray, you know, and I had my favorite prayer. And I kept thinking, I wonder why I'm supposed to be praying this prayer on terrorism, because there's a prayer in there for terrorism. I did not pray it, but yet I felt really led several times to pray that prayer. And then 9/11 hit. Well, I was not being sensitive to the Spirit. And years ago, I remember we had been to San Francisco and been down on the area, the wharf, and they have a lot of museums and everything down there. And I saw, actually right before Chuck retired, and I could see myself walking down there on that wharf, just walking. And I thought, that's funny. Maybe we're supposed to move there. Who knows? Maybe, you know, you don't normally see yourself walking somewhere. And do you know what? That earthquake hit. 3 days later, that earthquake hit. So see how the Spirit of God in us will nudge us to pray? We went on our anniversary. The kids gave us a trip to Hawaii. And we were with family, my sister and my brother. We just had a wonderful time. Well, of course, they're from California, so their planes left at a different time than ours, coming back to the East Coast. And so everybody had left, and we had the rental car to take back. We got back to the airport, and it was like 4 hours or something before our flight went. And I said, Chuck, there is something wrong. There's something wrong. We've got to go back and just walk on the, just walk on the water, just walk on the edge, just walk, I've got to pray. And we went back there, we just started walking, you know, it was a golf course actually, and we just started walking back and forth and praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And I took authority over a spirit of death. The minute I did that, that left. And I just had this real peace. We got back to the airport, and our plane that was to come in from Maui had been grounded. Something was wrong. Now, you know that my prayers absolutely kept that plane from picking us up, which was like 15 minutes away. But look at all the people that its lives it saved. So it did. But I'm just encourage you to just pray and be sensitive. Just be sensitive to pray. I don't pray nearly as much as I used to. I used to just spend hours praying and loved it. But with you know, not being alone, it's different now. I mean, and sometimes you have a call to pray, a real anointing and call to pray. And in two different churches that we were in, I was the prayer coordinator for both of those churches. And so I spent hours praying. And one particular time, the Lord said to me, you pray 1 hour, set your clock and pray 1 hour for the pastor every day. And you know, I did that. And do you know what? I really believe that it saved his life. I really believe that. And you know what? After that, after my prayer assignments, and you will have prayer assignments. Listen, it says the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, but only if you're available. You have to be available. The Lord spoke to me and said, you've prayed for them. You've prayed, where he said to me, now you be sensitive to pray who I tell you to pray for. And we also can do that. When you go in your prayer closet, ask God what he wants you to pray for. Ask him, he'll tell you. It may be something you have no idea what it is that it's about. Well, I felt, and the Lord told me to start praying for Oliver North. Well, I did it faithfully for him and his family. Yeah, something. Anyway, I started praying for him, prayed faithfully for him. Yeah, just like on the Shenandoah River near us. Well, I started praying. Well, he had a pilot, a private plane and a pilot in Winchester. And he was flying in from a trip. His pilot dropped him off at Dulles for him to drive in. And the pilot flew then from Dulles to Winchester. And the plane crashed 15 minutes before it got to Winchester and killed the pilot. Well, I knew that that prayers I had prayed had saved the man's life. And you know what? You just give God the glory for that. I mean, what a treasure. You don't brag about yourself for praying, but look how blessing he still is to our country. You know, and I had a chance to tell him. He was he wrote a book. I got the book for Chuck. And he was up at our Costco, our local Costco, signing the books. And I told him, he looked at me, you know what? He'll never forget it. I said, do you know how much the Lord loves you? That's what I said to him. I said, the Lord had me be praying for you when your pilot crashed and died. I had been praying for you. And the look on his face was, of course, how sad that happened. But just what a joy to do that. What a joy. And you know, nobody ever has to know what you do either. I'm telling you, but not to, you know, but just to tell you how important it is and how the people that the Lord will have you pray for. And like I said, the more you pray for somebody, the more you're going to love them. The more you're going to love them. So I just encourage you to take the prayer book and pray the prayer. If you don't pray it together, drink. If you just take it yourself, set and keep it in your purse. When you're sitting in the car, in line. No, you don't do it in line. but just take that and use it. Just use it. Use your time. Use your time that you have. So let's just for an example, we're going to pray for the President of the United States. Let's pray together. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the President. Surround him with wise counsel, men and women of integrity who place the good of this nation above their own and whose motives are right. Give our President discernment, understanding, and knowledge concerning the issues that require his attention. I pray that partisan politics not to be a factor in his decision-making process, but only what is best for our country. Strengthen him spiritually, mentally, and physically. Give him courage and fortitude to stand strong in the face of adversity. May he be bold and courageous to stand up for what is right and defy the forces that would come against our country. May he conduct his administration and personal life ethically, morally, and honestly. May he be a person of integrity and truth and follow the convictions of his heart, looking to you in prayer for help and comfort. I pray for the safety and protection of the President and his family. May no harm or evil come near them. May the Secret Service be discerning, wise, and vigilant concerning every aspect of their safety. May your hand of protection cover them, keep them safe, lead, guide, and direct them by your Spirit. I give thanks for our President, for President Trump, according to your word. Thank you for working in and through his leadership so that our nation remains strong and peaceful. But doesn't that just give you a good feeling to pray that? Doesn't it? And you know you're doing something good when you pray it. You're doing something good with your time, you know. Then just all the way through for the election coming up, just use it as a tool, as a guide. But then, like I say, pray a lot in the Spirit, too. When you pray in the Spirit, you're exercising your spiritual muscle, and that makes you so sensitive, so sensitive. So I don't have a lot more. What is it, an hour? However. But some of you all share what your experience is when praying or whatever. You know, I don't have to be. You know what's great about the body of Christ? You know, no matter where you go, I was telling them I'd done some traveling in Africa and India with my sister and her husband when they were in India, and in Chile and Costa Rica. You know, no matter where you go, you're with family. You know, like you being in Florida. No matter where you go, you're with family. Isn't that wonderful in the body of Christ? We really should be more of a family with all of our denominations and everything. We need that community. And the day of prayer you're going to have, that will be a big community outreach. But that is, when we have that family feeling. And you know, we really do need to pray for in this nation for reconciliation and for the division. You have division like we have now. It is so hurtful to our country. It's just so hurtful. And we know in situations where even in a family, you know, one will be against the other. we have some family members that are very strong Democrats. Well, you just don't go there. You just don't go there. You just use wisdom. It's just better sometimes to just love them. You can't change their minds anyway. You sure can pray for them. But it is sad. I think that should be a real target of our prayers, that we are United States and we have unity. And in that unity, you have power. With unity, you have power. So, but then anybody want to share? That's why it's important to pray the word. Because you pray the word of God, you pray the will of God. And you never pray your will. You know, when I used to teach for 15 minutes before we would pray. And mostly, you know, it was during the day, so you mostly had women. I would always stress, never pray your will. That is actual witchcraft when you do that. And always pray the will of God. Because sometimes we do things and ignorantly, we don't even realize that we're doing them, praying wrong. You know, like he was saying, you pray God's will for somebody to be healed when it is God's will for them to be healed. Or for prosperity. You know, I mean, God, he didn't make beautiful. I love these stained glass windows. I just think they're just so beautiful. You know, so many of the churches now, and especially the new charismatic churches, they don't really look like churches. And I just love coming here because I grew up Lutheran, you know. And that it's a very traditional church, but you know what? We love the Lord. We had the best pastors. But my parents worked for the Mountain Mission Work, which was a Lutheran Mountain Mission Work. And so I was telling them today, I literally grew up in the church. Literally in the church. Everything we did was in the church, of course. But we had the stained glass, and we had the, you know, I just love it. I just think that it's just, God is definitely here. He can be in those other places, but it is. It's such a beautiful, it is. It's a beautiful church. I love that. I love the awesomeness. And the presence of God here, you know, I mean, and it makes it easy to pray when you're in that, when you're coming to this, you know, place like this. So anybody else have anything? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that pretty? Isn't that great? Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, you know, Brother Copeland was saying that when the President Bush died, that he was watching her. And did you hear him say that? She went by and touched his coffin and then came back. And Brother Copeland said when he saw her draw back and touch that, he said it really touched him to pray for her, that he could see that drawing, you know, for her. And they can't. You know what's sad? Is that they can't be who God's called them to be and be what their party or what is expected of them. You know, we don't know what they're like in private life. You know, she may be a warm person. Of course, she's a grandma. She had her grandchildren there. But that's wonderful that you pray for her. And that I know one of my best friends who prays a lot, she was given to pray because, remember, Brother Copeland had a prayer, had a word from the Lord about prayer, that this would be the year of prayer, that we were to really focus on prayer. And she was given the AOC. I can't think of her name. I can't remember. Cortez is the last name. Yeah. To pray for. Now, you have somebody like that young lady as fired up as she is in the negative. What in the world would she do for the Lord? You know? And she's just deceived. It's just deception. And who knows who's feeding her? She may not even believe what she tells us, what she says. You know, so that, and therefore, the pray that the scales fall off their eyes, that they're not deceived. Because they are servants of the country. They are servants. Now, this is a prayer for ministers and for pastors in prayers that avail much. But it's long. But maybe if somebody could type out a prayer, and with your vision, with both things that I read, and then it's small enough that you could put it in your book. You know, and be faithful to pray. And you know what? When you pray, expect answers. Pray in faith. Pray just like you see a difference in her. That encourages you to pray even more and to pray. And the Lord will show you who to pray for. You know, now Chuck prays every morning, every evening. We pray together. For, of course, our children, for the blood of Jesus. I love Billy Brim's prayers and her ministry is so great. And her book on praying in for the end times. And you know what? You think about Simeon and Anna. And look at how many years Anna went faithfully to the temple to pray. And you know why? For Jesus to come. For the birth of Jesus. Now, I do believe, and in all the prophecies you listen to now and the words you get here, it is the end days. It is the end times. But you know what? We should all be praying for the return of Jesus. That's what Simeon and Anna did. They prayed all those years. And as soon as Jesus was born, I'm sure Anna was, I don't know when they died. But Simeon did. He said, now I can go. Now I can die. Because I've seen the Lord. So, you know, that's one thing that Billy Brim teaches, that we should all be praying for the return of Jesus and for everybody that gets saved, so especially in our family. You know what? We will be responsible for our family. If you're the only one in your family that's born again, start praying for the rest of them. Pray for the rest of them faithfully. And just like Chuck would say, you know, you may be the only Jesus people see or know, but you know what? You walk in love and you exemplify Jesus, and that's the greatest testimony that you can do. I had a couple brothers that you might as well forget it, you know. They just argue with you, so you just pray for them. Just love them. And actually, love worked. It turned them around. Love worked. It turned them around. But and then, even though they would kind of laugh at us, because once we received the baptism in the 70s, in the 76, 77 there, we just kept on going. We never went back. We had a few hurdles to cross that wasn't our doings, but it never stopped us. We always kept going with God. We just kept going. But let me tell you something. You will be persecuted for the word's sake. And a lot of times it's by your family. But let me tell you, when they need prayer, they know who to call. They know who to call. So that's when you're Jesus for them. They know who to call. So let's pray this for ministers. I'll just, and then you pick out, you know, maybe there's a particular sentence that you're supposed to particularly pray for, you know. I don't know why I'm so thirsty. Because I'm talking so much, probably. I was telling them today, Chuck's usually so quiet. We were talking at lunch, and I said, for some reason, I don't have any trouble talking. So let me pray this. Pray this now for your pastors. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray and confess that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon Gordon and Debbie, of our pastors, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge. We pray that as your Spirit rests upon them, He will make them of quick understanding because you, Lord, have anointed and qualified them to preach the gospel to the meek, the poor, the wealthy, the afflicted. You have sent them to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, the opening of the prison of the eyes to those who are bound. They shall be called priests of the Lord. People will speak of them as ministers of God, and they shall eat the wealth of the nations. We pray and believe that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and any tongue that would rise against them in judgment will be shown to be in the wrong. We pray that you prosper them, Lord, abundantly, physically, spiritually, financially. We confess that they hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching in all faith and love, which is for us in Christ Jesus. Now, one thing I can tell you about them, boy, do you get the uncompromised word of God. You get the uncompromised word of God. And I tell you, do not take it lightly. Do not take it lightly. Just like Roxanne was saying, oh, how good to come back home and come back to the word, is it? To come back to that. It's life. You know, it is life. It is our life. Life to those that find them. Find it. It is our life. Let me see where I stopped. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray and believe that each and every day freedom of utterance is given to them, that they will open their mouths boldly and courageously as they ought to do to get the gospel to the people in Kaiser. Thank you, Lord, for the added strength which comes superhumanly that you have given to them. We hereby confess that we stand behind them and undergird them in prayer. We will say only that good thing that will edify them. We will not allow ourselves to judge them, but will continue to intercede for them. Speak and pray blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. But isn't that a beautiful prayer? And let me tell you something. When somebody's praying for you, you know it. Our Jonathan, I was telling you about that, you know, just got out of prison. And he was in there for 15 years, 12 and a half years, and then had to go back for three more. And he said, Mom, I knew you all were praying for me. He said it was just like there was a shield around him. And he said, you knew it. He said, I never had fear. And he said, you sense, you knew that shield of prayer was around you. And so when you're praying for somebody or praying for you, or like we were saying, Chuck had that shoulder replaced. He was on medication for 3 days, and we had already been warned it's one of the worst surgeries, that replacement. And because one of our best friends is a nurse practitioner and works in the hospital, she said, "Oh, I'll have to warn you, that's one of the worst surgeries for pain." You know, and of course, everybody was praying for Chuck, and he's never sick. So I mean, for him to have to do that we were really praying, you know, slow him down a little bit. But you know, he had medication for 3 days, and do you know, after that, he had absolutely no pain. And that was a miracle. That was a miracle. It really was. So your prayers, our prayers, avail much. And I just encourage you to pray and get together and pray if you need to. You know, get. And I know you all have prayer here a lot. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Just encourage you to do that. So that's all I have. It's about almost an hour. And if Gordon was here and you had lots of questions, he'd be talking still. We get a kick. Listen, I tell you about my brother-in-law, Ed and Kathy, you know, they're in Nepal. And by the way, they send greetings to you. And they were here for a couple weeks. They love you. And when I try to have them, they're coming back from Nepal on the 17th, and our minister's luncheon is the 19th. Well, we get such a kick out of Gordon and Ed, because let me tell you, they talk. Oh, it's just so neat to see them talking. And I said, boy, this time we're just going to have to sit and listen, because they're going to really have a lot to tell us, you know. They're having some great experiences in Nepal. They're in a part where it's like Kathy said, we grew up, you know, in the mountains in the southwestern part of Virginia, and our grandma, you had to walk, a couple miles to get back where she lived, and I mean in the mountains. And she had, of course, no bathroom, and at a certain time had no electricity, but, you know, we grew up with the kids going there, you know, so we knew what it was. So it wasn't a shock for Kathy for some of that when she was up in the mountains in India. And the place where they are now in Nepal, it's a little bit like that. So they're riding a rickshaw, and they're having a really a good time. And they've been able to, and they covered your prayers. And your church gave a really blessed them for this trip. So you are a part of that trip. They're bringing in pastors from all over that area, and some of them is very difficult to get there, and they're teaching the pastors and then to go back in their villages. So it just, you know, it just spreads that way. So they're teaching on leadership, and they love it. It's good. They're doing a great work. So well, thank you all so much. Been a wonderful day. We've enjoyed it. So, do you want to finish? Do you want to add your part here, Miss Peggy? Fifth edition, and it's leather, and it's got all of the different. Like that was one of the first ones that came out. But if any of you want to order it, I have actually 3 on hand. They retail for like $29. They're leather, the gift edition. But I can get them for like 20. I order them from Harrison House. So Debbie and Gordon are coming over the 19th. So if any of you want them, just let them know. I know I have 3 on hand, I believe, that I keep them. Hey, listen, when I go overseas, when I go anywhere, boy, I take that book. And I mean, I encourage people to, you know, to. Yeah. These are nice. These are nice leather ones that they have navy blue and burgundy, and they're really leather bound. They're really nice gifts. I actually give them for a lot of gifts. I give them for gifts because they're such. I mean, where can you buy a nice gift with like that for $20? You know, the Word of God can't go wrong. All word. I'm wore. I've literally wore one. The first one I got out. Literally wore it out, and then Sophie, our daughter, gave me another one. But there's a confession in here. See, I don't know if it's in here or not, but it's such a good confession that you personal confessions. Let me do this for you. Chuck and I, we haven't been doing it lately. I mean, he's been praying, but we haven't been doing these confessions together. But yeah, we did. We need to get back to it, don't we? Jesus is Lord over my spirit, my soul, my body. Now, these are personal confessions. You start your day out like this, and you're going to have a good day. Jesus has been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I do not fret or have anxiety about anything. I do not have a care. Boy, that's something good to pray every day, isn't it? I am the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curse, for Jesus bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases in his own body. By his stripes I am healed. I forbid any sickness or disease to operate in my body. Every organ, every tissue of my body functions in the perfection which God created it to function. I honor God and bring glory to him in my body. You know, just like this morning when I was talking about, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when we pray this, and pray over your body. Pray over it. I have the mind of Christ and I hold his thoughts, his feelings, and his purposes. I am a believer and not a doubter. That little guy's going to be a preacher, right? Here. I hold fast to my confession of faith. I decide to walk by faith and practice faith. My faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and developer of my faith. You know what? When you start, like you said, John, Pastor has been teaching on righteousness, and you start praying this over yourself, though, you know the enemy is not going to come against your mind because he knows that you know who you are in Christ. He knows that you know. That's where the thoughts will come from him. Cast them down. Because, and you know what? The more you do that, the more you do this, the less he has your number. He just forget that. They know the word. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, and his love abides in me richly. I keep myself in the kingdom of light, in love, and in the word. The wicked one touches me not. I tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy over all. I take my shield of faith and quench his every fiery dart. Greater is he that's in me than he who's in the world. You know, it probably, what, 3 minutes? Maybe 5 at the most to do all these confessions. We can take that much time to do that. And you know what? Like I said, it's not rote. It's not legalism. It's life. It is life. And if you'll take that time, one time I had a friend of mine in the hospital dying, and I just had to get away. I got these scriptures, and I had a beauty shop at the time. It was a private place that I could go at that evening, and I remember going in there, and I was so heavy laden seeing her. And I started just confessing the word. And it was the first time that, I know you don't go by feelings, but I'm telling you, when I started confessing the word, I felt it. I felt the life coming back into me. I felt that life in the word as I was speaking it forth. Just encouraging myself. You know, David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. I fear not, for God has given me a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God is on my side. I hear the voice of a good shepherd. And listen, like I said, be sensitive. Just stop and listen. Ask the Lord if you're supposed to pray, like he, to pray for Pelosi. I should call her by her first name, but I can't think of it. Nancy Pelosi. But ask, and you will hear. I roll my works upon the Lord. I commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause my thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and my plans will be established, and they will succeed. That's a good prayer for you. I am a world overcomer because I am born of God. I represent the Father and Jesus well. I am a useful member in the body of Christ. I am his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. My Father God is all the while effectually at work in me, both to do his will and his good pleasure. I let the word dwell in me richly, and he who began a good work in me will continue until the day of Christ. Isn't that good? So, I guess that's the second ending. Is it? See, yeah, maybe we'll have a third. Somebody else. Somebody have a question. We'll have a third. Don't you love them? Don't you just love them? They're wonderful people.